Well, good evening, guys. Really good to be with you as we continue in our series Next. If you weren't here for kickoff weekend of this series, we've been talking about how all of us actually have a spiritual next. That's an opportunity for us. All of us have an opportunity to grow and go somewhere. We're going to be talking about that. And tonight, though, I want us, before we talk about next, to talk about a specific spiritual discipline. I want us to practice something together, and that is the spiritual discipline of remembering. The discipline of remembering. And I say this is a discipline because the reality is our natural tendency is not to stop and slow down like we did earlier. I love that Aaron and the band gave us space tonight to be able to, like, let's just hit the pause button. Like, what is going on? How can we open and have a conversation with God? And we're going to practice doing that tonight by looking back on what's been going on. And this is a common theme throughout the Bible, whether it's in something like the New Testament. Peter talks about this in 2 Peter. He says, "Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you've been taught." He says, you already know this stuff, but... and it's only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. He's saying, you're going to forget what's going on. I want to remind you to stop and remember what God's been doing, to take a look around and see his promises playing out. And this goes back to the Old Testament where people, when something would happen, when God would do something, they would build an altar right there on the spot. And they would say, you know what? We're going to recognize what God's doing. So they would either build an altar or put stones or say, every time we pass this, we're going to be reminded of what God did. And tonight, we're going to remind ourselves on what God's been doing here. We're going to have something that I've been wanting to do actually for at least the past year. We're going to have a State of the Union address for Florence. Maybe a State of the Side address. I hope there's a lot less like standing and sitting and clapping. You guys can clap for that. You guys just feel like you have to clap because I said State of the Union. But we're going to take a minute to go through the discipline. We're going to hit the pause button and remember. We're going to look back on what God's done and see what that might tell us about the time to come in the future. And so tonight, we're going to do that through sharing stories. We're going to do that through looking at God's promises during that time. And there are a couple things that I want you to think about. There are a couple things I want you to experience during that time. And the first one, you may be excited and you may feel appreciated for work that you've put in. Tonight, you may see the fruits of your work, and I hope that that gets you excited. Tonight, you may be in a camp where you're actually urged to get more engaged, to do something else. But no matter what, where you're at, I think everybody will be encouraged by what God's been doing, and that he wants to do that in your life. And so I want to pray for that right now. God, I pray that we would just see really, really clearly the ways that you've uniquely been moving here. God, as we do that, I pray that we would choose to get even more engaged. God, thank you that I think if we take a minute to look, I think we just can't even miss the amazing stuff that you're doing. So thanks. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I spent some time looking back at our past year, and that's what I want us to think about for a little bit, there are a few themes that came up that I would say this helps us understand the state of the site, because people regularly come up, how's it going in Florence? What's going on there? How's it doing? I would love if we as a community could really collectively be like, gosh, we know, we're in the know, we know what God's doing, and be able to share that. And so I'm excited to do that tonight. And so the first theme that I want to say, I want to say that we've seen incredible numbers that represent incredible life change. We've seen this past year incredible numbers that represent incredible life change. We're gonna talk about numbers for a little bit. And sometimes with churches, people are like, well, we're not about numbers here at Crossroads. Let me tell you, we are about numbers here at Crossroads. We're about numbers when they represent real lives. We love numbers because they represent so many times real people and the stuff that God's doing it. And let me say, there's a whole book in the Bible called Numbers. They talk about numbers a lot in other places, so tonight we're going to talk about numbers, and I hope be encouraged at what's going on. And the first one is that from last year at this time to this year, our attendance is up over 15%. Our attendance is up over 15%. That's better than the Dow year on year. Come on. Talk about a good place to invest. And so our average attendance has been between like 2,700 and 2,800 people on a weekend. That's amazing. That's amazing that a little over 2 years ago, there was no such thing called Crossroads Florence, and now we're seeing thousands of people get connected in this area, so much so that if you're here on a Sunday and you go out into the parking lot, we are almost out of parking spaces. There are literally about 20 open parking spaces between each of the service. But let me tell you, in some ways, I get really excited about that. In some ways, I'm like, ah, crap, what do we do to get more spaces? And some of you have been faithfully parking across the street at the Tank parking lot because you know you've wanted to create more parking spaces for your friends. Man, that's what kind of campus we're about, right? I love that more and more of you are doing that because we want to see more people. We want to see more people connected to a God that loves them and knows them by name. We are seeing incredible numbers, incredible growth that points us to changed lives. One of the other interesting numbers that many of you may not know, in Kids Club, every weekend, so this is 100% of the weekends, we've had to pay people to be there and help watch kids because we don't have enough volunteers. Every single weekend, we've had to put hard-earned cash towards paying workers to watch kids because there's so many kids here to take care of the folks that are coming in up until this weekend. This Sunday was the first weekend because people are stepping up where we haven't had to do that. Look at the awesome stuff happening in Kids Club. By the way, that guy on the right, who says white men can't jump? That's my dad. That's my dad back in Kids Club. Look at that. He's got air on that. But let me tell you, there's awesome stuff happening in Kids Club, and I get excited because more and more people are joining the team. About a month ago, we put out an ask to the community to say, will you step in? Will you get engaged? And during that month, we had 48 people take Kids Club 101. That's the first step to checking it out and seeing what's going on. That is awesome. That is a sign of the health around here. That is a sign of people that are wanting to step in and build into another generation. And I want to give you a picture of what it looks like when we do that. I want to give you a picture of what it looks like. And I want to tell you, sometimes in being the campus pastor of this site, I have to see some of the worst things, but sometimes I get to see some of the best things. And this was an email that came across my desk recently. And it's a mother of two kids, single mom. And she says, I have two small children and two jobs. I stay tired, to say the least. I attend off and on when work allowed. It wasn't until about a year or so ago that work no longer took precedence over going to church with my girls. My girls ultimately brought me back in communication with God. I want to pause there. I hear so many times that people say the first thing that got me to Crossroads was because there was a kids club and my kids started attending. Man, if you're a kids club volunteer, way to go, way to go. And I want you to see the life change that's happening in this person's life. So she continues, she says, I definitely know that our God is a loving and forgiving God whom has taken over my life's uncontrollable circumstances, who will be pushing me forward to fill out my kids club background check. That's somebody that's seeing the life change and getting engaged. She says, I'm not sure where our relationship will go next, but I do know that Crossroads is definitely the church for me. Thank you for your passion and working like a boss in Jesus' image and allowing me the opportunity to be a passionate believer and follower of Christ. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? Because people stepped up to do that. So this is a single mom that's feeling the freedom to engage, is getting connected in community. She's getting connected to God. Way to go. Way to go. That's a beautiful picture of health around here. Here's another one. Moving on from kids club to middle school. Man, we've seen awesome stuff in middle school. We were averaging somewhere around 30 kids a week. And then a few weeks ago, we had the middle school block party. Any parents, any kids at the middle school block party? It was awesome. Here's a couple pictures. It was the smelliest bounce house that I've ever been around. There are a bunch of kids. And hopefully we got one more picture. There it is. They had a little cook. This poor guy had to cook for like all, we had 150 kids show up to that. Isn't that crazy? 150 kids bringing their friends. And so this poor guy, he had to cook all the food. And then Pat, who's the leader of high school and middle school, man, he's doing an awesome job there. Poor Pat, he's usually like trying to get things done last minute. He's like, I'm going to get ahead of the game. I'm going to order all the buns and hot dogs and stuff early. Well, the issue is that he ordered a little too early and they start opening up the buns to put the hot dogs in and they're all molded out. I was like, oh man, bummer. Thank goodness Kroger's close by us. But shortly after the middle school event, I'm going to get my oil changed right up the street. And I'm on my computer and I'm kind of honestly thinking, I hope nobody bugs me. Like, I'm just trying to get the stuff done. I got to say something on Wednesday. And this guy says, hey. I'm like, hey. And he's just like, hey, I'm Chris. I go to Crossroads. But hey, Chris. And he just stops to say, man, my kid went to this middle school event. He went to that block party. He's been connecting in middle school. It's like, this is the first time that he's ever actually wanted to go to church. It's the first time. And so not only recently have we seen the kids double from 30 kids to 70 kids on a weekend to where they don't even fit in the room, man, our volunteers have doubled for it because people are stepping up and getting engaged. This is awesome stuff. We're seeing incredible numbers here. see incredible numbers that represent incredible life change happening around this place. Well, the second one that I want to say is that we started looking for opportunities to innovate. That's what we did this past year. We started looking for opportunities to innovate and try something new. And when you innovate, sometimes you just get lucky. Sometimes something just falls into your lap that you didn't even plan for. And this year, we had something just fall into our lap. It was called the Royal Prom. And man, we're going to talk more about that here. About a year ago, a little over that, a guy named Eric Northrup came up to me, and he's a part of Young Life's Capernaum arm, and that's the group that works with special needs folks. And he said, Terry, as I look at Crossroads, I think this would be a great venue to hold a special needs prom because that's not happening anymore around this area. And I think that it would be amazing. I think we could really bless people. I think we could connect people to church homes. And I said, man, all that sounds great, but you're going to need a team. And Eric was like, oh gosh, I guess I do need a team. And next thing you know, he got a team, and I said, we're doing it. And so we just provided the facility and volunteers, but this was all led by Capernaum and volunteers that they pulled together. And I want to give you, we ended up getting a little bit of publicity on Channel 12. Check out this thing called the Royal Prom.
Guests at a prom in Florence get the royal treatment. The red carpet, greeters at the doors, and escorts inside. This is the Royal Prom for people with disabilities and a night for families to remember.
A lot of times my friends with disabilities, and you know, in high school they have the community of going to the schools and they might be able to go to proms, but for our older friends with disabilities, there's not much out there. And so to go all out and to do an outreach with the community and not just an agency, it really shows something special in Northern Kentucky.
More than 650 people crowd into Crossroads Church in Florence. Many are volunteers who wanted to make the night special. Food, games, and dancing bring smiles to their faces, and the prom goers were happy to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Justin Pingle, and I'm having fun tonight.
Mm-hmm. You're having a good time?
Yes.
I am dressed up. I work at Snappy's to make pizza in 13 years.
You work at Snappy's for 13 years?
Yes, I did.
So are you having a good time tonight?
Yes, I am.
Volunteers say often there are activities that have no equivalent for people with special needs. The Royal Prom is the community's way of including people with disabilities and creating fun memories.
Our friends with disabilities have worth because of their creator. And, you know, we as a community just want to come and say, hey, we see you and we believe in you.
In Florence, Angela Ingram, Local 12 News.
Man, did you see that setup? It was beautiful. It was beautiful. I want to tell you some of what happened behind the scenes that I think a lot of people just don't know. The first one, I think this may have been the best example of churches working together in one area in a place like Northern Kentucky I've ever seen. The DJ was a guy from Lakeside. We had volunteers from First Church. We had volunteers from Seven Hills. We had volunteers from Grace Fellowship. It was an unbelievable collaborative of people working together and people starting to ask, like, well, what church do you go to? Man, I know there are people that are going to be connected to a community because this thing happened. Some of the other stuff, though, that blows me away. Before the prom, they took part of our chapel area that's not built out yet. It's empty space. And they created a salon area for any folks that wanted to get their hair done, wanted to get made up before the prom for free, they could go and do that. And there were stories of some of the women that were there and some of the girls where they had a mirror set up and they would say, okay, what do you want done? And they'd do their hair and they'd put on their makeup. And then they go back and look in the mirror and just start crying and say, I look beautiful. It's like, oh. There are stories of people where they were 30 and 40 years old. It was the first prom they'd ever attended. And there were folks that 200 days a year, they're inside their home. But on Friday, on last Friday, there are people building into them because people showed up. And who better than people that are part of this community, that are part of this place to show people around here? Awesome job, guys. Awesome job. Way to go. Way to go. I also love with this series next, we weren't even done yet, and people are like, when's the next one? When's the next one? I'm like, hold on. You know, let's finish this one. I hope we do that again. We're going to do that again. I'm excited about that. Another way we tried to innovate this year was through the Beans and Rice Challenge. Who did the Beans and Rice Challenge? Raise your hand if you were a part of that. Man, a lot of you did the Beans and Rice Challenge. This is where we ate differently for a week. I say innovation because we tried something different. We ate differently and we said, what if we invested? What if we tried to put all of this outside of us and see what would happen? And so many of you experimented with that. And this year, we just kept hearing from people in our community about an issue in our community that we had to do something about. We had to do something about. It was fighting the heroin epidemic, and because people gave generously, of that $500,000 that were raised, $200,000 across our city went towards fighting the heroin epidemic. That's crazy. That doesn't happen with normal people, right? That does not happen. And a couple months ago, I had a chance to visit a couple of the facilities that we helped to provide scholarships to. This was a place called Teen Challenge in both Louisville and in Manchester, Kentucky, and Every month or so, I get a couple letters. I get a couple letters from folks that have received scholarships, and they wrote it to all of us. I want to read this. This is one of the second ones I've gotten from this guy, and he says, "Dear Pastor Terry and congregation," you can already tell he doesn't go to Crossroads yet, but he says, "I'm now in the second phase of the program here at Chad's Hope Teen Challenge, so I wanted to give you an update on my progress. I am so very thankful for people who are willing to help. Coming to this program was the best decision I have ever made. It has been an awesome experience. The Apostle John said, 'Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I fully believe that Jesus has already done on the cross what I cannot do for myself. He was the sacrifice so that I can become reconciled with God. I'm so grateful for salvation in Christ and his gifts of unmerited favor and amazing grace. I cannot explain the exact changes that are occurring, but I can tell that a transformation is taking place. I have become something different. I am a child of God, forever in his family through Christ Jesus. I am absolutely excited about what God is doing in my life and even more thrilled for what is yet to come. Again, thank you so much for your generosity in allowing me to have a second chance at life. Respectfully, Brian." Gosh, that is... Can we eat differently for a week to support stuff like that? Come on, come on. So we invested, we innovated, but the last one I want to say, we invested in changed lives. We invested in changed lives. We did that through things like beans and rice. I want to tell you, I get amazing stories just hearing people impacted by what happens on the weekend here. And after one of the recent services just a couple weeks ago, I'm getting ready to head and walk out, and one of the gentlemen, he stuck around for prayer. He was 76 years old, and he stops me. He says, "Hey, my name's John. I'm 76, and I just want you to know, for the last couple weeks, this is the first time that I've ever heard from God in my life." Just like, gosh, are you kidding me? 76 years old. I had another one. This email came across my desk, and this one just made me smile. I don't know if we got the pictures in time. I'll show you in a second. And so this is a young guy that emailed me. He says, "The reason that I'm contacting you today is because of my relationship with my girlfriend." Man, I get emails like this, and I'm just like, oh, great. What's this going to say? So my girlfriend and I went through a very bad breakup where the vast majority of people would move on with their lives in separate ways, but we were both referred to try out the new church in Florence. We both attended the second week of a Journey Home series separately because of our relational situation, and we're both moved to tears. From then on, we grew and attended Crossroads weekly. We grew individually with our families, but with most of all, with God. We are more close now than ever before, and without Crossroads Church, the people inside, the messages, the challenge, the many cups of coffee, I know in my heart that my spirituality would not exist, meaning I would not know God, I would not know myself, and I would not be with my girlfriend. Crossroads has honestly been the heart and soul to our relationship. I first wanted to thank Crossroads Church as a whole for everything that they do. The list of individual thank yous would be too big to name. I also wanted to let you guys and girls know that after much prayer on the subject, tomorrow I'll be asking my girlfriend to marry me as she leaves the 9:30 service in the parking lot, armed with a surprise puppy and a ring. Crossroads has played such a big part in our relationship that it feels only right to be there as we start the next big chapter of our life. Again, thank you everyone for everything that you've done. It really does change lives. Hashtag propose like a boss. Sincerely, Anthony." How good is that? This is a picture of the puppy. I don't even know what other pictures. There we go. And Well, she said yes to the puppy. No, I'm just kidding. She said yes to both. She said yes to both. It was good. It turned out good. Man, that is the stuff that we get to see happening here. And let me tell you another just healthy pictures of lives being invested in. We're getting ready to kick off a new season of community groups. It actually has started this week. And last year, around this time, we had a little over 200 people engaged in community groups. And community groups are all about people growing, people being invested in, and for some people, getting healing from addictions and other things going on. This session, we had around 500 people getting in groups. We did a big investment leaders, 500. That's like a quarter of our adult attendants are saying, I want to look for a next step. I want to grow to the next place. And so I think about things like moms, where moms are connecting in real community. We had so many moms, and actually the issue is we had so many kids that came with the moms that our child care is completely maxed out, and that's a good problem to have, isn't it? We got tons of fathers coming here, and we also have here in Florence a group that's around recovery and redemption, addiction recovery. We have 19 people. They're going to have a leader building into them. They're going to have a leader walking alongside them and growing in what they need to. Is that awesome? I mean, seriously, is that awesome? Do we want to get excited about that? I guess you guys have to clap. I guess it is the State of the Union address. So what's the state of our site? What would you say the state of our campus is? I would say it is blessed and it is thriving. It is blessed and it is thriving. We are getting to see unbelievable things here. But, for a lot of us, the reality, if we really stop to also hit the pause button and look around, we might say that there's a lot of sweetness going on. I don't know, though. Would there be anything that could be bittersweet right now? Is there anything that has actually been a struggle, if we're being real, during this time? You know, in my family, I had somebody that during this time, they lost their job during the Like a Boss series. That's a bummer, right? How about with finances? Is there anything that's maybe bitter, more of the bitter than the bittersweet? Like, is there any more of that going on with finances? Or recently, I don't know, any health things going on? Are there any struggles that are really happening during this time? I just don't want to gloss over that stuff, because in reality, there's a lot happening. Any relationships that need work? Any marriages that just don't feel like they're going a healthy direction? That just don't feel like they have hope? How do we reconcile that? For me, this week, I got to be honest, I've been exhausted. And I got to walk in tonight saying, you know what? I really need last Wednesday tonight. Just yesterday, I ended up having to go to the dentist because I had this big abscess on my gums. My mouth was infected, and I'm going into the dentist, and the dentist is basically telling me how I have to get oral surgery on October 14th and 15th. That's a bummer. Like, they're going to go and, like, burn up some of the stuff in my mouth. While I was getting that done, April was taking one of our kiddos to the doctor, and they're like, well, his oxygen levels are really low, and so we're not going to have you drive there. We're going to call an ambulance and take him to Children's Hospital yesterday. Let me just say, I wasn't jumping about puppies and engagement rings then. I don't know about you. Like, it didn't feel like that, but it felt like a bummer yesterday. And so I want to give us a thought, though. How do we reconcile that? How do we reconcile the bitter with the sweet? The stuff that's actually good with the stuff that is really, really a struggle? And I want to say that through the discipline of remembering, through the taking the time out, what if actually looking back, what if looking back at what's happened helps us be reminded that God's goodness is bigger than the issue that I'm in? What if it helps remind us that we actually can have a reason to have hope? And for me, as I started just thinking through, gosh, okay, God, would you do something? I started to have a little bit of hope and a little bit of peace in what was a really crappy day yesterday. And I just want you to know, could God want that hope for you? Could God want to take you to a place that just feels really frustrating, to a place that maybe there's wholeness on the other side of it? What if that could be a possibility? What if that's something that maybe he wants to speak to you tonight? I need it tonight. And as we think about this idea of looking back, I want us to look back at the amazing things that God's done in the same light that that some of the disciples did after Jesus performed his first miracle. This is in John chapter 2. It says, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. They said that something happened. This was at the wedding where water got turned into wine. They started to see something miraculous happen. And I don't know if there was other stuff going on in the lives of these guys, but they started to see something happen, and their belief grew. And what I believe happened is that people started building a track record. People started to look back and remember the things that Jesus was doing again and again and again, and trust built and belief built. I believe God is doing that here. I believe it's the reason that we're seeing all the things that we've seen over this past year. They're just amazing. That remind us, God, you are still there. It may not feel like it in this moment, but I can still have hope, and I cannot give up. And so when we get to that place, when we can start to look for hope, I think we can start to look at what's next. And I want to talk about some specific things at Crossroads that are next. This doesn't have to be for everybody, but I believe if you're a part of this place, I bet you something here is next for you. I bet you something here is next for you. And so I'm going to run through a list of things where I just want us to be considering, God, might you have this for me? One of the first ones is I get a lot of questions about the chapel here. And what are we going to do with the chapel? We've had this big space. We've been here for 2 years, and we don't have a chapel. We don't have places for weddings. We don't have places for funerals. What could happen there? And so we started talking with our team. We started saying, okay, how can we get this done? And the reality is that we've had a great game change campaign. We were concerned that actually income was coming in really slow, and then all of a sudden you guys showed up. And so of all the commitments people made, 85% of the commitments came in. That's actually really, really good. And so we had a lot of money come in. And at the same time, in the last minute, we decided, hey, let's build a new campus on the west side, and let's build one in UC, around UC. Okay, that was kind of a bummer. So all that cash that came in is already gone. And so we're having to think about, how do we creatively figure out how to do this chapel? And the one thing I'm excited about is that I think we're going to have an opportunity as a community to invest into our community and build that chapel. Don't know what that's going to look like yet. It could look like it's something as simple as having a year-end opportunity where we pull together as a campus to get this chapel built. I don't know, but I think that's what's next. I don't know how that'll look, but I'm excited to see what's going to happen there. And I'm excited about what's going to happen in the chapel when we do that. I think it's going to be the place where we have tons of new people come because of weddings, because of other meetings that are going to happen in that room. Another one that's going on here this year, Awaited. Awaited. Last year we did 14 Awaited shows. Many of you tried to get tickets, and it was really, really difficult. And so we started asking, do we start charging for tickets? Do we start so that people don't go to like 5 shows again and again and again? And we said, you know what? We want everyone to see this show, so we're moving from 14 to 29 Awaited shows. I mean, it feels like these stinking things are starting next week. Yes, it's going to be awesome. The first Awaited show is December 5th. That's crazy, isn't it? And so we're doing 100,000 free tickets because we're going to make sure everybody in our city that wants to hear the message about the birth of Jesus can do that. That is going to be awesome. Here's what I'm excited about for this campus, though. On December 9th and 16th, we're going to have Florence nights where only people in our community are going to be the ones serving hot chocolate. They're going to be welcoming people. They're going to be holding doors. We as a community are going to help make this show happen. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a fun one. So more to come on how to sign up. But man, it's going to be great doing that with you guys. I'm really excited that we get to be a part of that happening. So that's for Awaited. Another one that kicks off really, really soon, WizKids. We are kicking off WizKids at this site. I found out we have 30 third grade students at Collins Elementary, where over 90% of the kids are on free or reduced lunch. We're going to be building a relationship with kids that are in poverty, that don't have adults regularly building into them. It is going to be awesome. I actually signed up today to tutor. I cannot be more excited about that. I hope many of you will join and be a part of WizKids. Beans and Rice. Beans and Rice coming up this year. To be honest, we have no idea. I don't know what the next initiative is going to be, but I bet you just like this past year, I wouldn't be surprised if it came out of this campus. I wouldn't be surprised if God was speaking to somebody or if we see something we need to aggressively go after. That doesn't happen right here. And you know what? This year, I'm just excited to be praying and seeking for where that might be. Some other ones, The Journey. Usually around this time of year, we do something called the journey, where we get on the same page, we get small groups, we connect with other churches and do this journey. We're doing that in the spring. It's going to be the first weekend after Easter next year. And part of that is we wanted to have some capacity because we're doing all these awaited shows. We want to be able to do those well. We want to bring our best creativity. So that's going to be happening next year. And what if we started thinking about, though, who might be in our groups to come? Who are new people that we may want to invite into our small groups? I'm excited to see where that's going to go. I don't even know the topic yet, but I'm excited, and I hope you are getting excited about what's going to happen there. And we've got a lot of stuff that's just the bread and butter ministry that we regularly do here. It's going to be the same nail again and again. We're going to be doing Thanksgiving food drive soon. At Thanksgiving food drive, we're going to collect food and give it to great organizations in our city. Yes, we're going to send it to South Africa, other places that need it. Are you guys going to hit the same nail hit? We got Angel Tree. This year, we're going to continue to fill in the gap for parents that are incarcerated to let them know around Christmas time that people love them and care about them. And this year, I think we're going to be hopefully able to add our WizKids families in that. That's going to be awesome. Next year, we're going to do Super Bowl, and it's going to be as crazy and silly and fun as it ever is. And how many people can we have come and hear the creative message that they can love and enjoy wrapped around football and also hear about Jesus? That is going to be awesome next year. Go Cincinnati, happening in May. We're going to serve the crap out of our city. It's going to be awesome. What's the next organization we need to be partnering with now, though? Who's that going to be in? And who's going to get connected with other great organizations and continue to carry that torch? Family Meal Pack. Anybody do the Family Meal Pack in here? We're going to grow this thing. We're going to get more families engaged in this. I love that kids got to engage this year. I was coming back from vacation. I'm going to make sure I'm around to be a part of this coming year. And we've got go trips. We got go trips to India, South Africa, New Orleans. I know many of you guys have been on those. Maybe that's something God wants you to think about, though. Maybe you've been on the fence, or you've been considering. Maybe you haven't considered this, but you're going to attend the information session this weekend, and God wants you to go somewhere across the world to go serve people. I don't know, but we're going to continue hitting the same nail. Let me tell you, God promises a lot more. And maybe it's one of those things. Maybe there's something specific that God wants to work on with you, but you know what? God promises more. I want to read this promise. This is a promise that Moses said to his people. I think it paints a beautiful picture of what God wants for you, if we'll choose to trust him, if we'll choose to turn unto him. It's Deuteronomy 8. It says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees and pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing." You know, I'm not necessarily seeing all of this in my life right now, but what I can tell you is I want it. And I just believe that as I pursue God, there's going to be more of that. There's going to be more good springs flowing up. And I think that's going to happen all across. I want to say the state of the union here is thriving. It's great because we have people that are trusting God. And what God is showing up again and again. It is good to be a part of Florence, isn't it? It is good to be a part of Florence. I tell you, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. So that's why we do the discipline of remembering. It gives us hope again. When we start to just forget, when we start to lose hope, it's something that brings us back. It reminds us who we are, and it connects us back with God. And I want to say that's the same reason that we do communion every last Wednesday. We need that regrounding. We need to remember. We need to be reminded of who God is. And so tonight, as we take communion, I want us to remember what this means. I want to remember the deep meaning that when we come up and take of the bread and take of the wine. So I'm going to invite all the volunteers up right now if you're helping out with that. And so when you come up, they're going to hold out a piece of bread. And they're going to break a piece off and they're going to say, "Christ's body for you." And tonight, in whatever state that we're in, whether things feel good or whether things feel like they are just really, really tough, we're going to be reminded where sustenance comes from. As Jesus says, "I'm the bread of life." If you go anywhere else, you're going to be hungry again. But Jesus says, if you eat this, you'll be fulfilled. Then you go to the next station. They say the blood of Christ. And we're reminded two things. When we take wine, and it doesn't matter if you want to dip wine or the grape juice, but when we dip wine, one of the things I love about the wine is that it is bittersweet. It doesn't taste like grape juice. Wine is bittersweet. And we're reminded the bitterness of somebody having to pay the price for us, of somebody having to save us and pay the price that we can't do on our own. But then we also get that sweetness of saying, when that happens, when God says, you know what, you believe in me, and so I don't see the ugliness, I see Jesus when I see you. We just get to be reminded that we're forgiven. We have a hope in a future with God that we can look forward to. So that's what we get reminded. We get to remember. We get to just be pointed back to God's goodness when we take communion together. And so right now, if you're still wrestling through what you believe about Jesus, hey, you know what? That's okay. Man, totally glad. And I hope right now you get an opportunity just to be able to consider and remember. And I want to ask you, where will you find hope? And I want you to consider as you look back, consider as you remember, there's a God that maybe you start to see where he's been with you this whole time. And for those of us that are saying, Jesus, I'm in. I'm following you. Man, I pray that we get to actually enjoy the bittersweetness of a God that loves us. So let me pray and we'll open up communion. God, I just thank you for what you've done here. God, I thank you for just a few of the stories that we get to share, but God, you are writing stories all over this room. And God, I pray that as we look back and just see the miraculous, there's something about the future that we just start to say, God, this is going to be great. You are worth following. You are worth trusting. God, we're all in. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.